So you won't thrive if you don't present the good soil of your life to God and allow the word of God to come in and take root. Secondly, you won't survive if your tree is full of bad fruit. Because Paul said this morning, he said, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And he goes on to say, I warned you as I warned you previously that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you're not going to produce good fruit if the nature of your tree is to produce these kind of things. So we need to present the good soil of our lives to God. So that's the first thing. It's about survival. It's about taking the word of God and letting it become deeply implanted in our lives. Secondly, is growth. When a tree is in growth mode, it doesn't produce much fruit. If a tree receives more nourishment than it needs for its own survival, then nourishment gets channeled into growing the tree. That's the second thing. So growth. Survival first, growth second. Remember what we've taught you before about the habits of spiritual growth. The four habits that will enable you to grow spiritually. Number one, prayer. A life of prayer. Number two, a life in the Word of God. Number three, church attendance. Regularly, faithfully. And number four, a spirit of generosity. Today again, I want to remind you and encourage you to spend time in the Word of God and in prayer. These are indispensable habits for spiritual growth. In other words, for becoming more like Jesus in your character. The survey I mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago, consistently shows that engaging with the Bible four or more days a week is the single most important predictor of survival and spiritual growth in your life. If you engage with the Bible four or more times a week, I said, you are less likely to view pornography, to drink to excess, to lash out in anger, to gossip or lie, etc. Secondly, you are much less likely to struggle with such issues as holding grudges, thinking harmfully about yourself or others, having difficulty forgiving others, and feeling discouraged. Thirdly, you are more likely to be generous with your time and money and share your faith with other people. And finally, you are less likely to feel spiritually stagnant and feel more spiritually alive, and you will feel more positive about your relationship with God. This was a survey that was done among 100,000 Christians, and they found that for somebody who spends time in the Bible, seriously reading, studying the Bible four or more times a week, you are more likely to survive as a Christian, not only to survive, but to grow and to flourish as a Christian. Why? Because through the Word of God, you're listening to God and you are putting the Word of God into practice in our lives. Somebody came here once and they said, prayer is our way of speaking to God, but His Word is His way of speaking to us. So how can we hear from God if we never read His Word, if we never study His Word? And then we struggle in our lives and we say, I never seem to hear God speaking to me. The first question we need to ask, well, am I spending time in God's Word? And am I open to be hearing from Him through His Word? So that's the second thing, is growth. The third thing is fruit bearing. Notice that fruit comes at the end of the line. You first of all survive as a Christian. That's got to be your priority if you've given your life to Jesus. Is survive. Do all that you can to survive. Get around the people who will help you and encourage you and teach you to survive. Be in church regularly. Get as much of the Word of God inside you as you possibly can, and then you will begin to grow And then once you begin to grow, you can begin to bear fruit. It says in Psalm 92, verse 12, it says, the righteous will flourish like the palm tree. Who's the righteous man? The righteous are those who have survived, they have passed the test, they have overcome, and they have grown in the Christian faith. So what happens when you survive and you grow? The next part of your life is you flourish. And what a great feeling it is when, you know, you experience the gift of the Spirit in your life. I want to say it's an incredible experience. It's an incredible feeling when you begin to flourish. That's where we need to be going. It's not just looking for the quick five runs, the quick success. Yeah, we need to be looking for that incredible anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you when you begin to flourish in the presence of God. I want to encourage you this morning to set out to aim for flourishing, not just for surviving, not just for growing, but to be a man and a woman who flourishes with the power of God in your life. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. That's what the Bible says. They shall be fat. And they shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So those who are planted and flourish will bear fruit, even into old age. Amen? Planted where? Planted in the house. Planted in those days in the temple. In our day, planted in the church. Plant yourself in the house of God. Because the flourishing blessing, it's not out there. It's not alone in your home where people say, I can be a Christian on my own. No, the flourishing blessing is always in the house of God. It's always among the people of God. In other words, if you really desire to flourish, get planted and grow in the church. Then you will bear fruit, and you will keep on bearing fruit even into old age. Isn't that good news for us? Amen? Especially if you're old. Good news. So, young people, the great news for you is that fruitful young people grow into even more fruitful older people. Moses and Daniel are two fantastic examples of two people who committed to bearing fruit at a young age. And they sustained that throughout their lives. They developed the habits of maturity and spiritual growth at a young age. And therefore, they were able to bear fruit. They were able to make a difference. They were able to have an impact, even upon their nations. And they're still having an impact on us today. Moses made a decision. Notice that word, decision. This comes up a time and time again when it comes to survival and to growth and to fruit bearing. Moses made a decision. Can you all say with me the word decision?
Decision.
Moses made a decision when he was younger to be identified alongside God's people instead of enjoying the extravagant lifestyle that he was entitled to as a prince. He chose to be with the people of God. And that decision would lead him down a path whereby God would work on him for 40 years. He grew over a period of 40 years, and he cared for Jethro's flock as a shepherd in order to prepare him to shepherd Israel when he was 80 years of age. You may be 60, 70, but your ministry may not have come yet. Your main ministry may not be here yet. I knew a man a few years ago up in Sheffield. He became a Christian when he was 80. And between the years of 80 and 85, he had an incredible ministry of sending resources to the mission fields in Africa and in India. His ministry started when he was 80 years of age. So don't listen to this thinking in our society that imposes on people the idea that you're supposed to be retired when you're 65. Scrap that idea. The Bible doesn't teach it. That's something that's imposed upon us by our culture and by our society. There is no such thing as retirement when you're a Christian. I might retire from this job one day, but I never retire as a Christian. I will never, ever, by the grace of God, stop working for Jesus. Amen? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. So you may retire from a position, but that doesn't mean to say that God said you are to retire as a Christian. You can't. I felt the call of God from when I was 5 years of age, going to a Catholic church. I knew the call of God was upon me. I knew I was going to serve God. Somehow I felt that I was different. And you might say, well, that's certainly true, Mike. You are. But I felt the call of God. I'm praying that young people in this church will get a hold like Moses did, when they're young, and identify themselves with God and identify themselves with the people of God rather than enjoying this so-called extravagant lifestyle that's supposed to be out there. Friends, it isn't. It's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. Life is with Jesus. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness. Am I speaking to the choir this morning? Is there anybody listening to me? Is anybody taking note this morning? Daniel made the decision to not be defiled by the world and by what the king offered him when he was taken into captivity. He learned to habitually pray as a younger man to his God. His decisions and his habits in earlier years prepared him to have the kind of trust in the Lord that he needed later on in life in order to impact his own people. And when he was a real challenge put before him and he was thrown into the lion's den, he learned the habits of spiritual maturity at a young age. In actual fact, I was sharing with the men yesterday, by the way, thank you men for making yesterday so special. It's so special when the men in this church come together. We had 20 men with us yesterday, which was fantastic. Thank you for that. But I shared with them, when I was 15, 16, I had developed the habit of studying for 3 hours every night when I was in school. And my brother used to sit across the table with me, and I thought nothing of it. But he said, when you left and you went off to college, he said, my discipline fell apart because I was taking my discipline from you. You can have an incredible influence by your life of discipline, your life of self-control, your life of practicing the habits of spiritual maturity on other people and on people around you. I encourage this church to really grow in our faith and grow in our anointing by practicing the habits of spiritual maturity. Because when we do that, we will be an incredible fruit-bearing, fruit-growing church. So, when your day is done and you are out of here, what kind of rings will appear on your tree when it's eventually cut down? What kind of rings will your tree have? Will it have narrow, thin rings? Or will it have broad and wide rings? Because if your rings are narrow, it means that in that particular year or those years, there wasn't much growth in your tree and you didn't bear much fruit. But if your rings are wide, then that means that there was a great deal of growth in your life on that particular year. And you bore a great deal of fruit. Now, all of us have got a tree. And we've all got so many rings on it at this moment. I've actually got 63. Next month, I'll have 64. I have 64 rings. I wonder what my rings look like. I wonder what your rings look like. I pray that there will be many, many years when you have got wide and broad rings. But you know what's important now? Because you can't change the past, but you can change the future. You can still have an impact on this year that you are now in. And you can set out, by the help of God and the grace of God, to grow as much as you possibly can by the grace of God, by practicing the disciplines, by being intimate with the Lord Jesus in prayer, by making sure that you don't just come to church and hear the encouragement to read the word, but you actually go home and start reading it. I know somebody last Sunday who said after she'd listened to Jacqueline preaching, she was inspired to go home and read the word of God. How many today will be inspired to go home and read the word of God? Not just on a one-off, but actually because you want to flourish, because you want to grow, because you want to have an impact and a significance upon other people's lives. And you've made up your mind, I'm not living for myself anymore, because one day I'm going to be out of here and my tree is going to be cut down and there's going to be a judgment made about my rings. Everybody is going to see what kind of fruit that I bore. Well, I pray for you this morning that your tree will be incredibly flourishing this year, that you will be amazingly fruitful this year. Even though you may be a relatively new Christian, it doesn't stop you from bearing fruit very quickly. Let us all speed up our journey. Let us speed up our growth. It lies very much in our own hands. Stay connected to the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Feed that relationship that you have with Jesus. We're not into religion. I spent many years of my life in religion. It destroys you. We're not into religion, we're into relationship. And this relationship is about abiding in Jesus. It's about allowing the life of Jesus to flood into you. The final thought that my message is based on today, Paul Scanlon has repeated this, made it his own. But it was a guy called Jim Downing who wrote, he said, fruit is the overflow, the surplus, the excess life taken into the tree. He said, fruit is simply excess life. If we're going to bear fruit, we need an abundance, an excess of the life of God flowing into us. First of all, so that we survive. Secondly, so that we grow. And thirdly, so that we bear all kinds of fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. All the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of evangelism. The fruit of our labors. The fruit of our lips. That we develop a church here that the fruit of the lips is released every Sunday in worship and in praise and in giving glory to Almighty God, so that this church bears all kinds of wonderful fruit. And I pray that God blesses this message to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.